Welcome back to All Things Marcellus with Attorney Doug Clark here at 94.3 FM The Talker. I am Douglas Clark. You can reach me at 570-307-0702 or visit our websites at pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com and submit questions to the show that you'd like to hear addressed in future shows at questions at pagasleaseattorney.com. Also, a reminder, we'll be doing a seminar. I will be doing one at the Wysox Volunteer Fire Hall on Wednesday, September 15th at 6 p.m. to 7:30. We'll address pipeline issues, unit issues, and all other issues, or several other issues, dealing with the Marcellus Shale development. When we left our last segment, I was talking to you about pipeline right-of-way option agreements and the importance of understanding what an option is. And I want to get into now, I have a form contract, and I want to address some of the things that are that the company presents typically in their initial contracts to the landowner. We will not be able to get to this week all the different methods and techniques that we can use to defend against these, but we will absolutely be addressing those in next week's show. But it's important to get into what is this right-of-way option agreement, what is it seeking, and what exactly are you giving up if you sign a pipeline right-of-way option agreement presented by the company. Well, when you look at the pipeline option agreement, the first clause typically is what's called, we call the granting clause, saying what is the landowner getting and what is the company getting as part of this process. Again, these easements are permanent legal contracts that will be filed in the courthouse and will travel with the land and will affect the land for potentially hundreds of years or even permanently if not worded correctly. A typical granting clause in a pipeline right-of-way agreement will give the company and its successors or assigns, meaning any other company that it may sell the pipeline right-of-way agreement to or the easement to, anybody that it may assign if it gets taken over by another company, or any entity in the future that takes over this easement will have the right to construct, maintain, operate, replace, or alter the size of the pipeline without the interruption of service and remove or abandon pipelines that transport gas or other fluids. Important to note there, are you giving the right for oil, water, or any other fluids to be pumped through these pipelines over this easement in your property? You need to understand that. And you need to understand, can I limit this? And if I can limit it, how can I limit it? And what can we do about that? Also, as part of the typical granting clause, is that the company would have the ability to transport gas or other fluids not only from your land, but also other lands that adjoin your land or other lands that are even miles and miles away. This is very standard, and you probably would not be able to limit this, but you need to understand that a lot of the agreements are constructed such that as long as they have the ability to transport gas through this line, that this easement will continue to exist. As we know, this development may take hundreds of years or at least 50 years or maybe hundreds of years. We don't know yet. But as long as there is the ability to pump gas or gas to be pumped through this line, unless it's worded properly, this is an agreement that will continue to exist. Also, a typical granting clause will allow for the ability of the company to place temporary surface water lines, which are used for drilling. These water lines can be take water from water and impoundment ponds for fracking purposes, things of that nature. And you want to make sure that you understand, am I or am I not giving the company the ability to run temporary surface water lines in the future? Another extremely important part of the granting clause normally allows for the company to install above-ground facilities. These above-ground facilities can be quite wide-ranging. Typically, we are talking about pig launchers, pig receivers, also a valve, perhaps. And to explain, a pig launcher is one of my favorite terms. I remember the first day I actually heard it. The pig launcher, a pig is a somewhat tubular device that goes inside the pipeline, which is used to clean and maintain the pipeline. So if you picture a tube that has brushes on the outside and cleaning capabilities to be placed into a pipeline. It is then moved through the pipeline through the pressurized gas. That pig is used to clean the line, and they also have these things, they're called smart pigs, where they can also, they'll brush the line and they'll see if there's any areas of problems or any areas of weakness that need to be potentially have some maintenance done on them. Now, the pig launchers are the area where the pig is placed into the pipeline. The launcher, again, launcher, where the pig takes off, gets dropped into the pipeline, goes through the pipeline, and then it is then removed through what's called a pig receiver. Well, the pig launcher and the pig receiver are above ground facilities, which you can actually see it. We have some pictures on a website, but they're above ground facilities where this pig is placed into the pipeline, is then removed from the receiver, comes out of the pipeline, and many landowners find these undesirable to have in the property. They are above ground facilities, and typically what we do is we have separate contracts we negotiate for these where landowners are paid, and normally done on a recurring basis for every so many years, the landowner is then paid. Again, everything is calculated for a reason to try to benefit the landowner, and that would be that once the line is no longer used, or once the pig is no longer, or the pig launcher or receiver is no longer necessary, we would like this agreement to end and we'd like these off the property. So by motivating the company that every so many years you have to pay again, they're going to operate efficiently and remove any above ground facilities from the property when they become unnecessary. So certainly that is an area that we always look to address and we always have addressed in some fashion. You do not want to sign a pipeline right-of-way option agreement and 2 years later turn around and have a pig launcher in your front yard. So it's very important that you understand exactly what you're signing and, again, how serious of legal documents these pipeline right-of-way option agreements are, and for landowners not to make the same mistakes that they did in the leasing process, where landowners sign leases without being fully informed or without completely understanding what they were signing, without being represented, and without having somebody work for them, and then have gone on to regret that decision. It's very important that we as landowners learn this, and moving forward, that we take all precautions to make sure that we're not taken advantage of in any way by the gas companies. Again, if you have a pipeline right-of-way option agreement presented to you, call me at 570-307-0702, and also visit the website, the pipeline site, at pipelineattorney.com. Also, as part of a typical pipeline right-of-way option agreement, the company will have the right of possession of the property. Normally, during the initial construction phase, it will be a temporary easement, which often we see is 100 feet. And then during the construction process, that larger area is used because of the equipment and the machinery to dig the trench, the backfill, all of those things that are necessary in the process. But then after that, the easement is reduced. The common amount would be 50-foot permanent easement. In some cases, some companies use less. Normally, the highest we see is 50 feet. I have currently working on a few different agreements now where one of the companies, one of the pipeline companies who have originally went through secured pipeline agreements for a line, are now looking for an additional 25 feet to the side or to widen the easement because they want to add another water line to the right-of-way easement. So you're looking normally at a temporary area and then also a smaller permanent area. You need to know what that is, and we want to limit that area as much as possible. Obviously, again, any easement is going to affect the value of the land in the future in a negative fashion, and the smaller impact and the smaller the easement, the better that is going to be for the landowner. And when I talk about, too, the impact on future value of the property, remember that if you're presented with a pipeline agreement, where is this pipeline going to go? Is that going to affect your ability? A lot of landowners may be looking to subdivide the property in the future, maybe looking to have one of the children or grandchildren come back to live on a piece of the farm, and will the pipeline be placed in an area that's going to prevent that? These are all very serious considerations that are going to far outweigh, in my opinion, the value that you may receive for the actual pipeline right-of-way agreement. A reminder, you're listening to All Things Marcellus with Attorney Doug Clark on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And you can contact me at 570-307-0702. You can check out the websites at pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com. And feel free to submit any questions you would like to hear addressed in future shows at questions@pagasleaseattorney.com. Another area that I want to talk about is we discussed about in a typical agreement the option and the payment. Again, it's critical to remember that the option agreement would be typically for 1, 2, 3, 4. I've even seen up to 10-year options. To me, that's crazy. I highly recommend that nobody sign such an agreement. Now, the second part, which we haven't talked about at all, is the financial aspect. And again, what you'll hear is, and you can go online and you can read different things, and I know of one company paying as low as $1.20 per foot. You hear all kinds of other different numbers, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25. Those can be very, very misleading. Companies will typically have a specific price that they're looking to pay on a certain line and will generally stick to that price. Now, again, that price can go up, but if you're saying I want $100 per foot and everybody else along that same line is agreeing to $15 per foot, the chances of you getting $100 per foot are extremely, extremely small, because the pipeline agreements are different than the leasing agreements generally when we're talking about the gathering lines, in that the company only needs a 50 to 100 foot path in a certain area. They do not need to enter into pipeline agreements with every single landowner, unlike the leasing area where the companies generally tended to want to lease all the properties across the whole region. Here, they're going to look for the weakest link landowner who they can sign for the smallest amount of money. And there are many people who are just signing these regular pipeline option agreements, unfortunately. And the company is going to start by looking to those people and then continuing to go to areas where they can pay the least, or landowners who they can compensate with the least amount of money. Now, we're running low on time, but I want to get into why would a landowner sign this agreement? Number one would be the financial compensation. How much money per foot are you going to be paid? Again, I have landowners who have been paid literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars per foot. However, that's a very rare circumstance, and it's not something that people should judge, hey, that's what I should get. I heard somebody got $100 a foot. If an area is absolutely critical, if the company has no lease with that person, they're going to pay a higher amount. But generally, those values are going to be much lower. But you want to look at why, what is going to be my benefit? And I would argue that your first benefit would be the money that you would receive from the agreement, which may be far outweighed by the negative effect on the land. The second thing would be the increased potential for future production. If you have a pipeline across your property, it may increase your chances of future production. As far as the negative effects, you are going to absolutely devalue your property. You're going to have negative appearance issues on the property. That can be handled if done properly through negotiation, but there are a lot of negative effects. And again, I can't stress the importance. We're running out of time, and I'm going to get into much more details next week on how we can start to try to protect the property. But if you have a pipeline right-of-way option agreement, give me a call, 570-307-0702. We're going to have to leave it there today, but I'm going to remind you, you're listening to All Things Marcellus with Attorney Doug Clark at 94.3 FM, The Talker. Next week, we're going to get into much more detail. We're going to continue to talk about pipeline agreements. You can visit us online at pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com and submit any questions you may want to hear on next week's show or future shows at questions@pagasleaseattorney.com. Remind you, we have a seminar coming up this Wednesday, September 15th from 6 to 7 at Wysox Volunteer Fire Company. And also remind you, if you are presented with a pipeline right-of-way option agreement, give me a call, again, Douglas Clark at 570-307-0702. It's critical that you understand what you're signing and what you're doing with these pipeline right-of-way option agreements. Thank you, and I look forward to next week where we'll again continue with pipeline right-of-way options and what we can do to protect Pennsylvania landowners on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information and educational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific legal advice or recommendation for any individual. Listening to this program or submitting email questions to pagasleaseattorney.com or pipelineattorney.com does not create an attorney-client relationship between you and the Clark Law Firm or attorney Doug Clark. No attorney-client relationship shall be formed until such time as your matter is accepted in writing and by the execution of a representation agreement by the Clark Law Firm and the client. It is recommended that you consult with an attorney experienced in oil and gas law prior to entering into any legal agreement or contract.
This is our land, our piece of Pennsylvania. It's our right to protect our property. I'm attorney Doug Clark of the Clark Law Firm, where we focus in negotiating gas leases, pipeline agreements, waterline agreements, surface use and roadway agreements, and all things to do with Marcellus Shell development. We offer comprehensive representation covering all your Marcellus Shell needs. Do not sign any agreement before speaking to the Clark Law Firm. Do not leave any financial compensation or property protections on the table because you did not know they were available. Do not leave your land exposed to abuse in the future. I personally am a landowner and consider myself a landowner lawyer. I fight for landowners on a daily basis, and I will fight for proper compensation and protections for you and your land. The Clark Law Firm, 1563 Main Street, Peckville, 307-0702, and online at pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com. This is your land. The Clark Law Firm will fight for it.